you want to show me someone that's successful, like, and we talk about like being a seven-figure earner, right? Or an eight-figure earner, but are you an eight-figure husband? Are you an eight-figure dad? Like, do you respect yourself enough to stay healthy? Doesn't mean you have to be running marathons or playing the NFL, but do you have a routine where you take care of yourself so you can live longer and the ones that love you can count on you for being around and so forth? And so I think it's a mindset shift.
Welcome back to What's Next with Eric Wood. Our next guest is Craig Siegel, and this is Craig's second appearance on the podcast. So go back and listen to episode 120 if you haven't listened to that one yet. Craig is a keynote speaker, coach, podcaster, and now is adding author to his already impressive resume since he's releasing his new book, The Reinvention Formula. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you tune in weekly. Thanks and enjoy. Craig, welcome back on the show, brother.
What an honor to be back for a second time. Every single time you and I get together, it's just magic. I have so much love and respect for you, brother. Timing is everything. I'm ready to rock. Let's have some fun. Let's get nuts.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm looking forward to this one. Okay, so I already teased you have this new book coming out. It's called The Reinvention Formula. Let's start here. How do you define reinvention?
Yeah, it's so interesting. One of the things that I take pride in doing it and that I want to do is change the perception of the word reinvention, right? And I think a lot of people, they think it's like just starting over, for example, right? And for me, I think that when it comes to reinvention, there's a paradigm shift. When I think of that, I think of reinvention is not starting over, Eric. It's finishing and executing on what you have been dying to do. So I want to essentially reinvent the word reinvention. And I think that actually I know there's something in all of us, something magical, special that we're here to do. It's unique to only us. And it's our purpose and our life mission to identify what that is. And maybe it changes throughout seasons, right? For example, yours might have been football and now it's more of an impact, so to speak, in doing what you're doing now. But for me, it's to showcase that no matter where you are in your life, it is never too late and you're never too old. And reinvention is ready when you are. And there is something tugging at you. And I encourage all the listeners today throughout this conversation and immediately after is to lean into that.
So there's a lot of gold in there. And we are going to piggyback on a couple of those topics here in a second. But through the CLS experience, you've had so many great guests on your podcast, on your platforms that have written books. And I'm almost surprised it took you this long to get one set in writing, set to hard copy. What led you to this process of wanting to release a book?
Yeah, so when I started CLS, I totally reinvented my life. I was very strategic and intentional with how I went about this because, as you know from our first conversation on the show and so forth, I was on Wall Street for 13 years and I felt this tug during the pandemic when it got quiet. And for the first time in my adult life, I took some time to purposefully block out the noise, the interference, and really just connect. And that's when it occurred to me that personal development was much more than just a passion to me. This was my purpose, my assignment, if you will. And so I'm a big believer, I know you are too, do a thing, do it well. And I live my life very intentionally, very methodically. I believe everybody should always look to play chess, think 10 moves ahead, right? And so when I got the spiritual awakening, I had this vision for CLS. I didn't know 100% what it was going to look like. I didn't want to be Tony Robbins. I want to be the first Craig Siegel. But I needed to put together a vision. And so for me, I put together essentially a 10-lane highway. And each lane would represent something different for the brand. So for example, speaking, coaching, podcast, book deal, community, sponsorships, and everything in between. And then I reverse engineered it. And so one of the lanes was a book deal. And for me personally, I didn't want to self-publish my first book. I wanted to be with a major publishing house. And I thought of it kind of like a movie coming out with a major studio behind it. And it doesn't mean that I'm right or self-publisher is wrong. That's just what felt good for me to come out the gate, kind of. And so I put that out there to the vision board. And as I always like to do, I marry the process and I divorce the outcome. So it was on the vision board. Then I divorced from it. And I just kept building and compounding and building the brand and extending my reach and making an impact. And then Wiley ended up coming to us after the success of our mutual friend Ed Mylett's book, and he crushed it. And they were, I guess, looking for their next Ed Mylett, and there have been comparisons and so forth. And so I didn't even have a lit agent. I didn't have a manuscript or anything, which shocks people, because from what I understand, typically you have a manuscript, you have a lit agent, and then you pitch it, and maybe, you know, you pitch it to 20 publishers, 19 say no, one says yes, something like that. I didn't even have that, but they came to us. I renegotiated a record first-time author book deal. It's no secret. I wasn't afraid to lose it. And then they said yes, and it just felt really good with Wiley. And so after they we both parties accepted the terms, they had a very tight deadline. And so they wanted this thing out there. And so I had to create a process for myself. And so I did, and I'll never forget, December 2022. I just set the intention. I woke up at 4 a.m. every single day for the whole month, which is a little bit earlier than usual for me. It was pitch black out before the rest of the world. And I just wrote for an hour, hour and a half each day. And about 1,000, 1,500 words would come out. And I ended up crushing the 50,000 words over the course of that month. And ironically, I could have wrote more. It just started coming to me and flowing, and it started to make perfect sense. And you can relate to this with your book, I'm sure. It's so therapeutic, and it's vulnerable, and it's raw, and it's beautiful. I know that was kind of a long-winded answer, but I wanted to give some context. I had set the intention to write a book eventually when the timing was right. Wiley came to us, and that felt like a good time. And just to be clear, the reinvention formula is everything I know up until now. And essentially, we're just getting warmed up. So I'm excited to see what happens in the future. But I've been working on myself for quite a long time. CLS was not an overnight success. And I took all of that and I put it into one vessel, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you going through the entire process of that. I had a similar journey with the book, and also, thanks to some mutual friends, got connected with Wiley, which when you get connected with Wiley, who's maybe the biggest personal development publishing company, sure, you, then that gives you some confidence to do it. I know that you probably didn't struggle with the same imposter syndrome that I had. You were in the space a lot longer than I was. You knew you were ready for that next step. I didn't necessarily, but when Wiley approached me about putting a book together, that gave me the confidence to say, okay, let's run with this. And so, anytime for those out there, if you're looking for a John Gordon book, an Ed Mylett, Ben Newman, now Craig Siegel, you see that Wiley on the bottom on the cover, which you can see over my right shoulder right now on the book behind me. You can have some confidence in that, because they're going to do their homework. And like you said, they're like going to see a Pixar movie with your kids. Like, you know, it's going to be well done. And sure. So, I appreciate you walking through that. Okay, so let's talk about this reinvention. As I was prepping for this podcast and I was thinking of reinvention, I was thinking of my journey out of football, which you mentioned, and it's a shift. Well, it's not a complete, and I liked how you said it at the start, it's not a complete shift. You're not abandoning everything, because there were things that really served me during my football career that would still serve me. Those things don't need to be abandoned. Now, the eating habits, the training needed to change, how my days were structured. There was a lot that needed to be reinvented, but I didn't need to become a completely new person. So let's go in this direction from the start. You talked about finding your purpose, finding what fulfills you. You work with a lot of clients, then I'm sure a lot of them struggle while you're coaching them on how they find their purpose. What direction, what kind of tools do you give those individuals to find what's going to bring them passion in their life?
Yeah, what a powerful question. And I just want to acknowledge you. I couldn't agree more, right? Like, a lot of the characteristics that made us successful in other endeavors, for you, football, maybe for me, Wall Street or running marathons, it wasn't actually that arena that made us successful. It was you. It was me. And it was everybody listening. If you can point to one thing that you've been successful at, it was you that achieved that success. And those same traits and characteristics are transferable to other arenas or other endeavors and so forth. So for everybody listening right now, that's like, reinvention sounds great. I know I'm here for more. It sounds daunting and scary. Don't be afraid to be a beginner, right? Because you've been successful, and those characteristics you can transfer to something else. So I just wanted to encourage people. And in regards to what else you said, it's like, look, we're not going to be here forever, right? Like, we have to make every single second count. And if you're not in love with what you're doing, I think you're missing the point. and I was missing the point for quite a long time, so I speak with contrast. You should absolutely want to have it all in life. I want to be very clear about that. And what I mean by that is the career that sets your soul on fire, the great relationships, the wealth, and everything in between. We're meant to be abundant, to contribute, to make an impact, to have great things. And I heard a quote once, I can't take credit for it, but it was really beautiful. It's like, we don't create abundance, we create limitations, because we're actually meant to be abundant. But somehow along the way in our journey, we cultivate limitations and negative belief systems and so forth. So just understand that we're meant to be abundant. Now, first and foremost, in order to step into what you really love, obviously clarity plays a big role, because how are you supposed to know what you love if you're not sure? So two things to that. Number one, I'm a big believer in that clarity follows action. So if you're not 100% sure what that is, you just got to get in the damn arena. And oftentimes you'll collect some data, you'll see what works, you'll see what you gravitate towards, what you like, what sets your soul on fire. And oftentimes, if you do get in and it's not the thing, it'll be the thing that leads to the thing, right? But you'll never know unless you take some messy action. And for me, you know, I spent 35 years knowing in my soul that I was here for something more. I thought Wall Street was it until I realized that it was not. Marathons, I was never looking to become a professional runner, but that marathon season helped me cultivate some purpose at a time when I desperately needed it and gave me confidence. And so for the listeners listening today, if you know in your soul, in your heart, that you're here for something more than you're currently settling for, how do you get clarity? Here's a tangible exercise I would give you. I would make two lists. I would list, grab 10 things if you can. If you only have five, that's fine. List the 10 things that you absolutely love. I don't care if it's looking at stickers or watching insects. 10 things that you're passionate about. It could be reviewing movies. Maybe it is entrepreneurship, a sport, a hobby, whatever it is. Make a list of 10 things that you would actually like to wake up and do if you don't have to worry about money. And then on the other side of the page, I want you to make another list of 10 things that you're skilled at. What are some of your skill sets? What are you good at? What are some of your superpowers? And so for me, when I was kind of looking for clarity and had that spiritual awakening, it occurred to me that I'm obsessed with personal development. I know that very clearly. And I have a God-given ability to communicate pretty effectively. It's not my gift. God gave it to me, but I acknowledge it. And so what I did with that list, brother, is I married my ability to communicate with my obsession of personal development. I married the two, and CLS was born. And as I like to say, it doesn't take time. It just takes alignment. And I finally got into alignment after 35 years. And so for your listeners, I always like to marry the woo with the practical. So make a list, two of them. The things that you love and the things that you're good at, collect the data, and there's got to be something in between where we can marry the two.
You talked about alignment, and alignment can be so powerful. So you're talking about aligning your skills with your interests. Mm. Alignment could also be extremely powerful, and I've seen you do this in your life and your development in this business, in this field, and that's who you align yourself with in the community you align yourself with. Talk about community, and you know, it's become the backbone of your business. But why is having a community, not just in business but in life, so important?
Oh, it's everything, brother. And people always ask me, like, what's your secret? I've never seen someone blow up a personal brand in a short amount of time from scratch, and I'm very humbled by that. But one thing that was very important to me from the beginning was to really make an emphasis on building a community. Because we're not meant to do life alone, right? And like, we're stronger together. And I believe, especially when you step into something like entrepreneurship or something where it can tend to feel lonely and there's no guarantee and it's unpredictable, you really want to surround yourself with like-minded, supportive, inspirational people. And like, when I first started, I had to put my ego aside and realize I don't know what I don't know. This was a whole new arena to me. And I started getting into rooms with people, as I like to say, that weren't necessarily better than me, but a little bit further ahead. And it's just contagious. You start to think bigger. You get strategies. Obviously, take what you like, leave the rest. But you want to make an emphasis on community, because even you, right? Like me and you, like, we become close friends since we first connected. And If you ever need anything, you could always shoot me a text and vice versa. It's just good to have a support system around you. And it's interesting because as you begin to evolve and spread your wings and shed some old identities and skins, you'll probably, and when I'm talking to the audience right now, your listeners, like you'll probably realize you might not have as much in common with people from your past. And that's okay, right? I get asked this all the time. You really want to build a community and surround yourself with people with a common future as opposed to a common past. So community is so pivotal for anybody, especially in 2023.
Man, that is so good. I hadn't heard it said like that before. You want to surround yourself with people with a common future. I've heard it said, you know, you want to be surrounded by people that are talking more about things coming down the line as opposed to just constantly rehashing the past and reliving old memories. I love how you stated it there. And so as someone gets clarity and they find their alignment, when they start this reinvention project, and we don't have to spoil the book on here, but what are a couple tangible tools or steps that they can take at the start of that reinvention that'll get them on the correct trajectory?
You're going to love this, brother, because not only are you a football fan, but you played at the highest level. So I like to give an analogy like this. So I talked earlier about having that 10-lane highway. I would suggest everybody putting that together just so you can set it an intention, because when you have an idea, something becomes a possibility. But then all of a sudden you take inspired action towards that idea. Now the possibility becomes a probability, right? So for me, set the intention, reverse engineer. What's step one? Forget about going to A to Z. How do we go from A to B? And for my football fans out there, and I imagine you have a few, you don't need to get a touchdown every single day. You don't need to score the seven-figure deals or the unbelievable developments. But I'm willing to bet or guarantee with every ounce of me that you can get a first down every single day. And what I mean by that is you can wake up and do something that just moves the chains a little bit. And if you just stack magical moments, in other words, stay very in the moment, because I believe mindfulness is the portal to expansion. In other words, I don't care about anything that I have going on after 11 a.m. Eastern or what happened before. It's just me and you right now building a rapport and doing the best we can to deliver value. If you, instead of just winning the day, if you can just win the next activity and do the best that you can, it doesn't matter if it's hanging with your kid or hyper-focusing on a side hustle, whatever it is, just do the best that you can in that moment. It begins to compound. And then after a week, you look back and, whoa, we have some momentum right now. We got a bunch of first downs. So for anybody that's looking to reinvent themselves in some capacity, and one of the reasons why I love talking about reinvention is because I believe all of us in some fashion are looking to reinvent in some capacity. So whatever that is to you, for me personally, when I was going to step into CLS and I realized that I needed to build a personal brand, it was going to lookalike audiences on Facebook and Instagram and introducing myself and meeting people and building a community and bringing them to my private group, totally free, just adding value and kind of like virtual handshakes, just meeting people, getting myself out there. Those were first downs for me. And then I would meet more people, they'd find out, and I would continue to add value, totally free, just videos and high energy and strategies. And then it began to compound and became a snowball effect. And then I started the podcast and I got some great guests on and they shared it and so forth. So that's what I did in the beginning. For anybody that's out there that's looking at the reinvent in some capacity, whatever it is, have the long vision 100% and then divorce from that and figure out how can I get a first down today and then tomorrow again and the next day again, and it begins to compound. And don't be surprised after a week how much momentum you've cultivated.
That's one of my favorite things to speak on when I'm brought in to speak, and that's simply stacking wins in your life. And people often ask me how I went from one scholarship offer coming out of high school, not even starting on my high school team until I was a senior, to being a first-round draft pick. And I wish there was one single moment that I could point to, but there's none. But there's countless workouts. There's countless times that I missed a social occasion to dedicate myself while I was at the University of Louisville. And then all of a sudden, I end up a first rounder. But there was no big, big moment that all of a sudden, hey, there was this huge leap in one day. And so I'll often talk about, here's another football analogy, I'll often talk about, when you start a drive within your own 10-yard line, there's a 90% chance that the other team, the one that punted or kicked off and put you there, there's a 90% chance that they're going to be the next team to score. Those chances wow. dramatically lower if you can get one first down. So you're not punting from your own end zone. And so if you get one first down, those percentages start to change. You get another one, they change even more. Well, I've given this talk. I talk a lot in Buffalo. And so last year I was the lead the charge guy, the legend of the game. So I'm on the microphone before the game and getting everybody fired up. The Bills muff the opening kickoff and start the game at their own 2-yard line. Josh Allen throws a 98-yard touchdown to Gabe Davis, and I have people in my on Twitter and on Instagram saying, I thought you said, the goal is simply to get a first down. I'm like, well, sometimes you can take the top off the defense, and there are home runs in life out there, and sometimes you hit them, and you read about them all the time, and you'll see these business success stories, but those are so few and far between. Most big-time successes, the people that I look as the most successful people in life that are completely well-rounded, that have no blind spots in their life, they just stack wins daily. And so I was doing a speaking gig in Buffalo recently, and I gave them one of my things is Jason Selk, who was the performance coach for the St. Louis Cardinals over a decade, where they had the highest win percentage of all time in Major League Baseball over a decade. His most powerful tool he used with those guys is 3 wins a day and write them down. And there's a reason you write them down. It hits your brain. It gives you that validation. You could see back on your wins because you can actually see your notes. But it just simply keeps you moving forward daily. So when I was up on stage, someone asked me, well, what were your 3 wins today? I thought to myself and I said, and one of my wins was I stayed in great communication with my family even though I was on the road. We FaceTimed for a half hour earlier that day. My wife and my 2 kids. And I said, look, these don't have to be huge wins, but for me, I'm going to get home before the kids go to bed tonight. And by the time I'm done speaking, they likely will be asleep. So I stayed in great communication. That's a small win, but it's moving the needle forward in my relationships. So I absolutely love that's where you went first when I asked you on those steps to reinvention, because it's simply just stacking those wins. Speaking on the successful in all facets. You coach successful people. You're surrounded with successful people. What advice would you have for people that want to be well-rounded, want to be successful in all facets of life, but find themselves maybe lacking the dedication to their health because they've put so much focus on their business, or they've neglected their relationships, or maybe their spiritual, emotional? What advice would you have to those individuals?
Yeah, and let me just be as bold as I possibly can. What success is not is dominating in just one area of your life. That's correct. Not success. And just to be clear, like I was making money on Wall Street and I thought I was successful, but I was miserable and my soul was being, it was not in alignment and I wasn't happy. And now I look back and I was the farthest thing from success. Now, just to be clear, making money is absolutely a part of success, but not the whole thing. You want to show me someone that's successful, like, and we talk about like being a 7-figure earner, right? Or an 8-figure earner, but are you an 8-figure husband? Are you an 8-figure dad? Like, do you respect yourself enough to stay healthy? Doesn't mean you have to be running marathons or playing the NFL, but do you have a routine where you take care of yourself so you can live longer and the ones that love you can count on you for being around and so forth? And so I think it's a mindset shift, and I totally appreciate, especially me, like we're only just under 3 years into CLS. So I still consider myself in that season of grind because I'm really hungry and we're still building. And it's interesting because even though fitness is a non-negotiable for me, I work out 7 days a week, more so for the mental component than the physical. I actually posted a story today on Instagram that's like, because I'm going 100 miles an hour, especially for the book and stuff like that, it's a lot traveling, speaking. My fitness routine has become a bit complacent, meaning I'm just not as excited about it. And it's become, just whatever the case may be. So today I acknowledged it. I was aware. And so I woke up just a little bit earlier than usual and I attacked the gym with a new like reinvention mindset. Let's go. This is a new season. And all of a sudden I'm excited about it again. I just signed up for another marathon, New York City, baby. No, and the reason why I do that is because now that it's in the calendar, I have to become a better human being in the process, eat a little bit better, maybe cut out the booze, go to bed a little bit earlier. So I think it's so important for everybody to realize, and trust me, I have contrast. Success is not just conquering in one arena. You got to be well balanced in your relationships, in your fitness, in your spirituality, in your faith, in your career, wealth, all of that combined, in my opinion, is what makes somebody successful.
Me and you both. And yes, wealth, money, I'll say, is often a byproduct of bringing value constantly, fulfillment, and being aligned and all of that. That's a byproduct and it happens. But I've just seen too many people crumble in their life and crumble mentally, emotionally, whatever it may be. They crumble because they've neglected a certain area of their life. You see these incredibly successful people that neglected their health their whole life. And then all of a sudden, you know, when their season of grind is over, they don't get to enjoy the fruits of their labor because they neglected either their relationships or their wife that they wanted to travel with has left them, or their kids don't appreciate their dad or mom anymore because that season of grind caused them to neglect so many things in their life. And I've just seen it so often that's something that me personally, and there's times where maybe the season of grind is too far off the pedal, but I'll tell you what, I'm not wasting this time where my kids are young and I'm not wasting this time with my wife and my friends and these relationships. And so I say that. You call it a season of grind. I like how Ed Mylett calls it separation season. And I took it from him and went a little bit different way, talking about relating it to football and different things and how I would maybe work out when others weren't, when they were taking time off, so I could try and either catch back up when I felt like I wasn't there yet or separate from the pack. So whatever you want to call it, when you identify that grind season, when do you know it's time to either pull off or continue to push the pedal down?
Great question. And it's something that I'm going with right now. And it couldn't be better timely question. So at some point, I believe from speaking to the world's greatest thought leaders, entrepreneurs, actors, athletes, one thing that everybody seems to agree on is that when you're building something special from the ground up, there's an irreplaceable season of grind. In other words, in the beginning, like putting in the work. And just to be clear, hopefully you love what you do. And it doesn't feel like work, but you got to put in the hours, right? Extend your reach, add value, build this thing. But then you get to a point, which I'm leaning into right now, that you realize like, that's not sustainable, right? Like I can't be working 20 hours a day forever. And at some point you get to a place where, okay, we have a foundation now. I can start delegating and hiring. Now I have an opportunity to work smarter, not necessarily harder. So for me, that might be hiring a team so we could scale and delegate certain tasks and maybe automate stuff, which you could do now. Obviously, AI is a trendy topic. I'm leaning into that a little bit. And, you know, it is what it is. It's not going anywhere. So we should consume it and understand how it can benefit us. There's certain things that you get to a point where you realize like what got us here, the audience that can't see, I'm making a hand gesture, is not what's going to get us there. So the season of grind or separation season, that's why they call it a season, because it's not permanent. So eventually, once you're off the ground, you're up and running, you want to be thinking, how can I work a little bit smarter here and not necessarily harder? And ironically enough, that's exactly the season I'm in right now. We're scaling and I'm hiring, which is challenging, but you got to begin to trust people and build the right team and so forth. So yeah, it's not sustainable, but it's necessary in the beginning.
That's great stuff. And part of the reason I asked that question was for me. And so in the off season, when I'm not calling the Bills games, when I'm not on the road every single weekend and week in and week out, I almost feel guilty at times that I'm not grinding, and I have to just constantly remind myself like there's different seasons and it's okay to rest, recharge, and maybe put on a few pounds, because that's going to be a byproduct of traveling and getting out of routines. But then that refreshes you. I actually was listening to a podcast yesterday. Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, he did an appearance on Bussin' with the Boys, which I've been on that podcast. Those guys are great. They're hilarious. But they asked him about his offseason training. And Josh said, earlier in my career, as soon as the season ended, I started working with Jordan Palmer. I would continue to throw, refining mechanics, watching film immediately. And he's like, for 4 years to start my career, I felt like I needed that. And he said, now it serves me better, and even my body, to just take some time off, play some golf, not work out hardly at all. And he's like, yes, I have to stay in a proper weight range. And, you know, there's a baseline to all this. I am an NFL quarterback. But he said, look, the recharge has helped me tremendously. Ooh. And he said, the guys that I see that never take their foot off the pedal, those are the guys that get the soft tissue injuries. They're always in the training room. And he's like, there's a correlation. He's like, you know, I've just observed this and learned from those around me. And so when you were talking about, you know, there's seasons to it and you got to understand it. It reminded me of hearing Josh talk about that.
I'm so happy you brought that up. But I imagine Josh would probably agree that he wouldn't replace those first four seasons working in the OC with the mechanics. But now he's at a place where he understands and now he can work a little bit smarter and practice the recharge.
Yeah, he needed to. He needed to get to a certain point. He needed to raise his own personal baseline where he's not going below that now. So whether it's business where you have to raise that baseline, you have to build it to a certain point, 100%. Or else you're taking time off and you're not even there. You know, you never 100%. Got to the league. You never got to an all-pro status. And so it was interesting hearing Josh talk about it. Before I let you go on here, I want to ask you about something, because the last time you were on, you were digging in on your faith for really the first time in your life. And then we texted around Christmas time and you said you were celebrating your first like real Christmas as a Christian and all that. How's this faith journey going for you?
Yeah, great question, brother. And I love that you asked that. So for me, I was brought up Jewish, but I'm not so religious. What's most important to me is my relationship with God. And I'm working on it every single day. And specifically the last few years, probably not a coincidence to the success of CLS so forth, I've really quadrupled down. And you mentioned my first Christmas. So my fiance, she brought up celebrating Christmas. And so I'm available. I'm open to new traditions. And so we had a Christmas tree in our house for the first time. And there's just something special about it, the music and the tree and the vibes. And I love it. And so as every day that goes by, I'm just more and more connected beginning to navigate my relationship with God and understand, like, you know, it's his plan. This is his vision. Essentially, you and I were manifestations of him, right? And how do we make the most of our God-given gifts and so forth? And so there's nothing more important and special for me than working on my relationship with God. And it's been just so beautiful and blissful, and it continues to grow each and every single day. And years prior, I wasn't like this. Like I wasn't religious and I didn't really have that much of a relationship, and it's made all the difference in the world. And so one thing that I like to purposely do is not push faith on anyone. I like them to make their own decisions, but I would encourage the listeners, like, if you believe there's something bigger than us and whatever that might be, the universe, God, whatever the case may be, is to lean in. And it's just so special. And the more you connect, the less stressful you become, because you realize we're not doing this thing alone. You know, we have support, the best support that there is. And don't be afraid to ask, right? Like, can you please reveal yourself in the most amazing ways, whatever the case may be. But to answer your question, it's a beautiful journey and I'm loving it each and every single day.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it. All right, last one for me. This is What's Next with Eric Wood. What's next for Craig Siegel? I know the book release, there's likely a tour with that. What's coming down the line for you? What's the next couple months look like? And then you also have a marathon to prep for as well.
Yeah, a couple things that come to mind on what's next is a wedding to plan, a marathon to train for, a book that's dropping August 15th. We're working right now on a TED Talk, which I haven't publicly announced, which I'm excited about. And just continuing to extend the reach, make the most biggest impact that we possibly can, impact the most lives. I'm having so much fun. That's what's so important, is like, I really am in alignment. This is all amazing. And full disclosure, me being vulnerable and transparent, I'm still figuring things out and I'm available. And some of the greatest opportunities that have come our way over the last couple of years have been ones that I didn't see coming. So those are a couple specific things that are next. And I'm also excited to see what's next that I might not be familiar with.
Man, that's so cool. I'm proud of you. I'm excited for you. A wedding, a marathon, there's so much great things that are coming your way, and you deserve every bit of it with the way you live your life. So, Craig, thank you for coming on again. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this book tour, you pushing out this book, The Reinvention Formula. You can pre-order it now if you're listening to it after the release date, which is
August 15th.
then order it at that point. But support Craig. And then the pre-orders are extremely important. So if you're listening to this, and I was always the same way, I'll order it when it comes out. Pre-orders are extremely important to authors. So please do that. We'll put a link to all of Craig's social media handles, his website, in the show notes. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you so much for having me, brother. Love you and love doing life with you.
Likewise, brother.